Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yeah, just we got to win games. I mean, we try to stack up wins, and we got to keep doing that. We haven't been doing a good job of that, so just stacking up wins is a good deal.
Happy Juneteenth to everybody. Also, happy birthday to my dad. That's right. Gerhard Helmut Crotty, 83 years old today. That's right. Happy birthday, Dad. And the Cubs. Cubs win. They beat the San Francisco Giants out at Wrigley Field. 6-5 was the final score. You just heard from the Cubs manager, Craig Counsell, right there. The Cubs do win the series, taking 2 out of 3 from the Giants. Cubs will get a day off tomorrow before the mighty Mets come to town, starting Friday, a 1:20 game, and it looks like a Shota Imanaga, Jose Quintana pitching situation for the Cubs and Mets at Wrigley on Friday. But let's dwell on a Cubs win, shall we? I said the Cubs win 6-5. Michael Cerami covers the Cubs for Bleacher Nation, and he joins us now on the Circa Resort and Casino on the hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. What's going on, Michael? How are you?
I'm good, and happy birthday to your dad.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you saying that. It was, as it turned out, as bad as the first game of the series was for the Cubs, Michael. This was a winning series, back-to-back victories for the Cubs. And as I was saying earlier, it moved me a little bit just because we started to see the Cubs score some runs and do it with something that has not come readily this year, and that's been big home runs.
Yeah, that's unquestionably good to see. The offense has definitely woken up a bit here lately. A couple guys in particular that you needed to wake up, which is Ian Happ and Dansby Swanson, had some nice games. But even Cody Bellinger, you strip out the first couple weeks of the season, you see he's mostly fine. Really, you know, I'm still waiting for Seiya Suzuki and Christopher Morel to live up to the potential. They're supposed to be sort of the two thumpers. There was some good underlying signs a couple weeks ago, but it still hasn't quite all the way come together. But overall, the team seems to be hitting better. You know, not to have a run-on sentence here, run-on response, but for as many runs as they did score today, they had a bunch more opportunities that they really let skate by, which ended up mattering quite a bit. A couple bases loaded, no outs, second and third, no outs, a couple leadoff doubles, and they didn't score. And then they ended up getting runs when, you know, the home plate umpire missed a couple calls, or when, you know, the sun scuttled a fly ball, should be out. And so, you know, you take it when you get it, and when you put the ball in play a lot, that's what tends to happen. But you still would like to see them to start capitalizing on those big moments and start putting these games even further out of reach, because apparently 5 runs in with 4 outs to go isn't quite enough. Or just enough, I should say. It's just enough.
Yeah. It's sad but true. Yes, here you go, Cubs. Take it away. It's all yours. There's no doubt about it. Yeah, that's what we would have been talking about today for sure, is the missed opportunities. They have been prevalent throughout the entire season. I've noticed that lately a lot of those opportunities have been built up with 2 outs, and that's a tougher task to have heavy expectations for. But the point is well taken, and yeah, I mean, this was just a tiny little bit of encouragement. It did get sweaty. Like I go through all the games in this series, and you had at least 5 runs or more with missed opportunities for sure, with good starting pitching in every single game. It was, again, though, the bullpen that got really nervous in this game, with Jorge Soler hitting the granny off Tyson Miller, and then Colton Brewer, congratulations to him, gets his first save, but it was a little bit sweaty for him in that inning as well. What's the solution in your mind, or the start of the process of solving high leverage in the Cubs bullpen?
Sure. So we're going to start a write-in campaign to shrink games to 8 innings, and the Cubs should, the record should increase pretty well. Now, I don't think there's much the Cubs can do But wait for some of their key arms to get healthy. There's been some good news on that front on the broadcast today. Taylor McGregor, Cubs sideline reporter, mentioned that Julian Merriweather should be back around the All-Star break. He's probably the guy that would have stepped into the closer role after Edward Alvarez, before Hector Neris, had he been healthy at the time. But he could be a really good, a really big return. And then obviously Ben Brown, whether or not the Cubs see him, you know, in the rotation of the bullpen, I tend to think it'll be the bullpen for the rest of this year, not talking about 2025 and beyond. I think he could be an enormous weapon for the Cubs in the late innings. And the Cubs already got Drew Smyly back. He's had some nice outings. And so if you start getting those guys back, maybe Edward Elflett comes back and he looks a little bit more like the guy we saw last year, even if he's not in the closer role. You start to see the bones of something coming together. Alante's another one. I mean, there's just a lot of sort of key arms that are hurt right now. The problem is they're not all certain to come back healthy and productive, or necessarily guys you would bank on at the start of the season anyway, outside of maybe Julian Merriweather. So, you know, it's a lot of waiting and seeing and hoping that people stay healthy, and then also hoping that the rotation continues to perform as, you know, extremely impressively as it has, but not only because of the innings they're giving, but also because that provides a pathway for guys like Ben Brown to be in the bullpen in the first place. And so that's going to require Jordan Wicks to be healthy and back. Maybe Kyle Hendricks, we saw him today, you know, looked like the professor of old. That was really nice to see. If he can lock out a rotation spot, then maybe you get Jordan Wicks in the bullpen as well. And you really start to see some opportunity here. But until these key arms, the guys that they expected to rely upon at the beginning of the season, are back in the bullpen, there's not much the Cubs can do, and there's not much Jed Hoyer is going to do for 4 more weeks. You know, like, they're not going to jump the trade market. That's not his style.
Yeah, he's made that pretty clear. He's been very transparent about that, that he's essentially telling his guys, you need to get better. You need to score more runs. You need to be better, because this is what we're doing right now. And who knows how crazy he's even going to go at the trade deadline at this moment. You mentioned Kyle Hendricks. And yeah, when you think about it too, I mean, your response was perfect. It's like, okay, all of a sudden, Kyle Hendricks, 5 2/3, 1 run on 2 hits, struck out 8, only walked 1, 75 very good pitches for him. And you're like, oh man, you know, is he fooling us right now? All I can say, and I did say this earlier, Michael, it would be amazing if he was to reclaim his starting spot, just considering how close it felt to Kyle Hendricks being done with the Cubs.
Yeah, no doubt about it. He also, you know, when he stepped in for Jordan Wicks in the last game, he threw 4 1/3 pretty solid innings as well. I mean, those are his best innings until today. So you're looking at 9-plus innings over 2, like, semi-starts. And you might be, you know, inclined to just dismiss it entirely if it wasn't for what we saw today specifically, and I'm going to dig into this more tomorrow. But the curveball usage, not just using it more, but how effective it looked. And he was getting whiffs on all of his pitches, his changeup especially. And he just looked like a, you know, rejuvenated guy today. And there might not be a player who could sort of galvanize the team a little bit better than Kyle Hendricks, who's been around forever. Not just the team, but the city. I mean, how wonderful would it be if he finished at least, let's just say, this season and not think about his career really strong. I mean, it helps the Cubs in a meaningful way. That would be incredible for all of us. And, you know, today was a pretty good step in the right direction. The Giants aren't an amazing team, but against right-handed pitching, they're not terrible. So that was a pretty good performance. He netted, I think, 13 or 14 whiffs overall, which is like an enormous improvement over what he was doing earlier in the season when he could not miss bats at all. So that's a pretty good sign as well. So, you know, I don't even want to, like, think about it. I'm nervous I'm going to jinx it. It's all just pretend it didn't happen and wait 5 days and see what happens then.
Deal. Sounds like a deal. We talked about it. He was very good. Let's leave it at that and see what happens the next time he comes out. I'll move on to another guy that I wonder if he's beginning to recapture some of what we saw from Dansby Swanson for, you know, about three quarters of the season last year. He's been hitting some. He hit the last night. He hits the home run off of Logan Webb today. He's part of back-to-back home runs, and then he has the two-run single in the seventh to make it a 5-1 game for the Cubs. Do you think that Dansby Swanson has recaptured something or could catch back to what I thought was the best player on the Cubs for about the first half of the season last year?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple things at play. For one, you know, with Dansby's typical, we've seen a kind of a little bit more variance than usual defense at short. He doesn't need to be an incredible offensive weapon to be a valuable player. But that said, he obviously needs to be a lot better than he has been for the majority of this season. I do think that there's a history of him starting slowly offensively, except for with the Cubs last year. That was kind of an aberration relative to the rest of his career. And when the weather warms up and the balls start flying a little bit better, that really has a disproportionate value add on a guy like Dansby Swanson, who, you know, he has basket home run power, right?
Yeah.
He doesn't hit moonshots,
right,
but he does frequently put it into the basket.
Yeah.
In fact, that was a big thing that we talked about a lot before he started his Cubs career, was like, how many home runs would he have had he played his games at Wrigley? And there was more than some of the other stadiums because of the basket. And so hopefully some of the hard contact he was making earlier in the year that was falling 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 feet short, maybe some of those turn into home runs, some of them turn into doubles off the wall, and he doesn't have to actually change much of his underlying performance, with the exception of elevating a little bit more, just still too many ground balls. And then the slug will come and the batting average will follow, and we might all be happy again with a guy who's, you know, maybe 5 to 10% above the league average offensively with his defense. That's a 4 or 5 win player.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if he gets there and, like you said, he's been there, then that would be very good. You just want to continue to see it. Just symbolic of this whole series. Let's continue to see that, clean up some of the wrist spots in the previous games that you messed up on. Because to that end, you know, talking about guys who seem to be getting it back in a larger, more convincing sample size, Ian Happ just looks like a dangerous hitter again at the plate.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and from both sides, it's
yes,
been incredible. He's been, he's been not just hitting well and getting on base and hitting for average and hitting for slug. He's been coming through in big spots. I know he actually came up short today later in the game, right before Dansby picked him up. But there have been, you know, 5 or 6, I feel like, over the past month, huge moments that, you know, effectively were created entirely by Ian Happ. He's been really impressive, but his overall production is actually higher than it was in each of the last two seasons, more than his overall career rate. I know he could be a polarizing player at times, and that's in part because his performance can sometimes have two big polar opposite ends of the spectrum where he slumps for a while, but usually by the end of every season, his numbers are in the same place. He's playing great defense in left field. I know that's another thing that people tend to, you know, undervalue because it's just a corner outfield spot. But how many times has he made an outfield assist at the plate or gotten the extra out by throwing out a runner at second base that ultimately would have come around to score in meaningful moments? It's happened a bunch this year again. So he's really having a nice season. It took him a while to get there, but history for him tends to play out, that he ends up being, you know, that 120 WRC plus guy, the guy who's about 20-25% better than league average offensively, and that's a very consistent, valuable guy to have when he's on it. It took him a while to get there, but he's there now, and he's been there for about a month, I'd say, maybe a little bit over.
Right, yeah. We're at the point where it's like, okay, there's Ian Happ, and you're not watching every, I hope he doesn't revert. No, he is in the midst of being Ian Happ right now, which is really, really good to see. Big picture for you, Michael. I mean, you mentioned that obviously Jed Hoyer is not going to do anything for about another month when the trade deadline hits us. The wild card makes it, you know, plausible that a team that is, the Cubs are 8 games out in the division, are still in it because of the extra wild card. That said, I mean, you still have to look at a team and say, okay, if you're in the race, quote unquote, But do I really have the base of players right now with this team that with some augmentation would actually be better? I don't know if that's something that you can answer if you look at this team and think that it just needs augmentation and they'll compete and they can nail down a wild card spot. Or is this team or is this season just look like one that is kind of cooked?
I don't think the season looks like it's cooked. I do think that there's one thing that's sort of propping them up, and that's in probably the most important part of this entire conversation, is the starting rotation. Despite significant volume of injuries to key members of the rotation, the Cubs have floated a really good starting staff the whole year almost entirely. And that's the sort of, glue that can keep a team chugging along as you start to, have key offensive players wake up. Maybe you figure out the bullpen either by people getting healthier or you adding someone to the back end, pushing everyone down a spot. That's the thing that can keep the Cubs in it, because I'll tell you the flip side is if the offense was humming and the bullpen was great, but the Cubs did not have starting pitching, there is absolutely no chance that they would have gone out and got it at the deadline, because that's by far the most expensive thing to acquire midseason, given the importance it has in the postseason. And so that would have been a tougher hill to climb. But because the Cubs actually have the starting pitching and the offense has some pieces, I don't think in a global sense this is the right final version of a Cubs offense. It's definitely missing a star player, a star bat, somewhere in the order. Hopefully that's coming, if not at the deadline, then in the offseason. But they could certainly string together big moments and big hits, and there is power in there. And if people start playing up, you could squint and see it. So then if you're really looking at, listen, can we add some relievers? Of course you can. They are the easiest thing to add. They're the most plentiful resource at the trade deadline. And they're often the very piece that teams are most willing to give up. So you don't need to go and say, it's Mason Miller or bust, or it's Kenley Jansen or bust. Although I think he would be a good target if the Red Sox do decide to sell. There are a lot of other guys throughout the league that you or I or any even hardcore baseball fan probably doesn't know the name of. And then you look and you go, oh my God, this guy's got a 2.8 ERA over 30 innings this year. Okay, let's see what he's got. What he's got.
Totally.
And that's fine. I mean, these guys are volatile for a reason. You pick an arm you like, you ride him, you hope that he can continue with your team down the stretch. So if that comes to play, if it comes down to we need one pretty good arm and maybe one dominant arm, but otherwise we're generally looking okay, then I do think the Cubs can make a little run here. I don't think they're the class of the league, and I don't think anything they could do at the deadline will change that. But they could make a little run. We've seen worse teams or teams as far down in the standings as the third wild card make it pretty far in the playoffs, because baseball is a pretty stupid sport when you get down to it. And so I think that would be, it would be foolish to close the door on anything like that right now.
Yeah, and I love your point, too, about the relievers, that there's guys. You're right. It's every year. It's, oh, that guy? Oh, that guy's doing that? Like, you're like, oh, who is he? And then you look them up, and sometimes they've even been on your team before because they're relievers. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
They may have been your failed starter. They may have been a bad bullpen guy with you, and now the life of relievers. I mean, we always talk about how quirky some of them are. But it is this great, like one of the most volatile positions in sports, really, when you look at it and how odd bullpens are in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I mean, look, you don't even have to look that far to find that. You had a guy like Elzelay, who was pretty dominant for most of last year and then was completely unplayable this year. Or Mark Leiter Jr., who is as good as anybody when he's on. And if he doesn't have a splitter, as hittable as anybody. I mean, it's from one day to the next. So that's not the case for all relievers. There's consistent guys out there, but there are always so many more arms available than people realize, a lot more conversations that happen than people realize. And you don't need to focus on only the names that you've seen, save games on your fantasy team before for them to make a big impact, especially to a Cubs bullpen that has no trusted arms at the moment. In the inner circle.
Right. I hear your hesitation. Tyson, you're probably right.
Tyson Miller was the guy, and we got him after he was DFA'd, and he gave up a grand slam today.
Yes.
So, who are we to turn down anybody out there? I don't think that's quite right.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. I want to sneak in one more quick question for you, and that is, there's a guy whose name that when you bring him up, it sparks big time emotion, and that man's name is Pete Crow Armstrong. And I feel like the majority of Cubs fans, a lot of the ones that we hear from, are like, "Why isn't that guy playing every? Why isn't he the leadoff hitter?" Where do you stand on PCA?
You know, I hear what you're saying about people saying, you know, why isn't he playing every day? Why isn't he the leadoff hitter? But I actually see a lot of the opposite, too. I think people are starting to get a little frustrated about the offensive performance. I think that's pretty silly. He's really young. I'm not concerned about that yet. And also his ability to steal bases is just incredible. So even if he just ends up being a guy that can get on
a little bit more. Was he 15 for 15 or something like that? Like he has not been caught.
He's perfect. Yeah, I think so. And then obviously his defense in center field look cannot be overstated. He is absolutely incredible. He's one of those outfielders that's so good that you go, well, he just hasn't even made a bunch of, you know, amazing highlight reel catches. But yeah, he doesn't have to dive. That's how good his jumps are. That's how fast he is. That's how good at reading balls off the bat he is. That said, he's, you know, we need him to get there at least a little bit more offensively if he's going to start every day right now. Nothing to do with his long-term potential. I think he's an excellent, you know, prospect still. I think he's got value to this Cubs team right now as an occasional starter, as a defensive replacement, as a pinch runner that, you know, like whenever you face teams like this that have one of those guys, it's like an automatic steal late in games, that becomes pretty valuable. And that can all happen right now. But if Cody Bellinger is going to keep hitting, and if Michael Bush, who is another one of those guys who's really started to hit a lot better lately, is going to keep hitting, well, then you sort of have center field and first base worked out a little bit better. And you don't necessarily need to force PCA into positions that are not otherwise best suited for him to succeed. So I think for right now, you keep setting him up for success, giving him the matchups that he can do the best in, or like today, you know, or when there's a guy like Shota Imanaga on the mound who has a lot of fly balls, maybe you want PCA in there, or a guy like Kyle Hendricks who had historically allowed a lot of balls in play. Maybe you want PCA in there. You just use his strengths. Don't expect him to be more than what he is yet. That time will come. He's an extremely young, extremely talented player. One of the better prospects the Cubs have had in a while. And I think he's got a bright future ahead of him. It just doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be the sort of guy that should be leading off right now. That I don't think is correct.
Yep. I pretty much agree with everything you're saying right there, Michael. Great stuff from you as always. Thanks for coming on, man. And I'm sure we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks for having me.
You got it. That is Michael Cirami, covers the Cubs for Bleacher Nation. You can follow him on X on Twitter at Michael_Cirami, Michael A-E-L at the end, Cirami, C-E-R-A-M-I. If you like what he heard, you should give him a follow right now. I think about the Chicago Bears every day of my life. I just do, partly because I cover the Chicago Bears for a large part of what I do here at The Score, but I like to think about the Chicago Bears, and when we return, I will tell you what I was thinking about the Chicago Bears today. I'm Mark Grody. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show on your ride home. Afternoons 2 to 6 on The Score.
Cubs manager Craig Counsell.
How do you keep it loose, or are guys collectively pressing?
No, I think our guys have done a good job of like sticking to who they are, and I think that's really important. I mean, we are putting on a show in a way.
Yeah.
This is entertainment in a big way, but it's also about how do you get the best performance out of yourself. I think our guys have been true to themselves, and I think that's important.
Denny Parkins, Matt Spiegel. Afternoons 2 to 6 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
This segment is sponsored by Jewel Osco.
Get great $1.99 digital produce deals through Jewel Osco for you. Save on everything from blackberries and blueberries to cotton candy grapes, green asparagus, and so much more. Check the app for details on all the incredible deals.
When I'm not voicing Wendy's ads, I'm gaming. Yes! Can't even sleep till I go God mode and some poor soul rage quits. Boom! So I stay up and stay fueled with a Baconator, because Wendy's delivers late.
Are you recording a Wendy's ad right now?
That and destroying your world.
Come on!
Whatever you're up for, we're down. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's delivery late night. Open till midnight or later. Got him.
Hours and delivery availability may vary.
Hey, big hitters. Do you want to tame your beard and bring the beard heat the lady fans are cheering for?
Beard Guys has been keeping beards fresh and clean since 1995. From beard washes to oils and beard balms, the Beard Guys brand will have all the ladies taking your pick. Unleash your beast and hustle over to local Meijer and Walgreens shaving aisles to pick up your Beard Guys today.
Looking for a home run career opportunity? Join Uline's All-Star Warehouse team. Warehouse workers earn pay starting from $25 an hour with a $4 night shift increase, plus substantial bonuses. Uline offers day and night shifts to fit your life, and bright, organized facilities reflected in an industry-leading safety record. Whether you're a rookie or a seasoned pro, Uline will help you reach your full potential. Check out warehouse opportunities in Kenosha County at uline.jobs.
Summer is heating up as golf's future stars return to the Glen Club for the NV5 Invitational, presented by Old National Bank on July 25th through 28th. Find out who will follow in the footsteps of past champions like Scottie Scheffler and Cameron Young and make the leap to PGA Tour stardom. Visit NV5Invitational.com to secure your tickets or upgraded experiences like the Trophy Club, located on the pivotal 17th green. Who's next? Find out at the Glen Club, July 25th through 28th.
Cards for Kids. KARS Cards for Kids. 1-877 Cards for Kids. Donate your card today.
1-877 Cards for Kids. KARS Cars for Kids. 1-877 Cars for Kids. Donate your car today.
Donate your car today at carsforkids.org. Your car, running or not, can be picked up as soon as the next day. No title, no problem. Call 877 Cars for Kids or go online at carsforkids.org to donate today.
1-877 Cars for Kids. KARS Cars for Kids. 1-877 Cars for Kids. Donate your car today.
Now accepting donations of land, homes, buildings, or any kind of real estate.
Hey, it's a serious question. Are you able to enjoy this summer as much as you want, or are you in trouble because of joint pain? This is the best time for being outdoors, doing all the fun things in life, but not if your knees or your shoulders, your back, your hips, not if you're hurting. Hey, it's Mully. Don't suffer any longer. Non-surgical joint pain relief is here. It's at QC Kinetics. Call them today. QC Kinetics is the nation's leader in regenerative medicine. There's no surgery involved, there's no drugs, and there's no downtime. QC Kinetics advanced treatments, they harness your own body's ability to restore and repair damaged joint tissue. QC Kinetics is under the leadership of former orthopedic surgeon Dr. Mitchell Sheinkup. Call QC Kinetics now for a free consultation. Open on Saturdays now with new locations in Crystal Lake and Gurnee. 312-809-5955. That number, 312-809-5955. Call now, 312-809-5955.
Hey, this is Matt Spiegel, and on my podcast, The PBP, Voices of Baseball, we learn how the best broadcasters in the game, like the Reds' John Sadak, try to capture the greatness of the best players, like Ellie De La Cruz.
He's a video game character. I mean, he is so athletic, and I think each moment is its own living entity. And I try to just match whatever that moment is.
The PBP, Voices of Baseball. We bring you the people who bring you the game. Find us on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Navien tankless water heaters, the proven leader in condensing technology. Request a Navien because you deserve the best in endless hot water delivery. Learn about Navien's condensing tankless water heaters and find a Navien contractor at tanklessmadesimple.com.
Count on Navien.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Abbey Springs Golf Course on the shores of Lake Geneva, Wisconsin has completely renovated green complexes and practice facilities. 4.5-star Abbey Springs rivals any course in Wisconsin. For tee times, go to abbeysprings.org. Abbey Springs, still Wisconsin's most beautiful golf course.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's pretty awesome. You know, there's obviously... You know, I feel that there's a light at the end of that tunnel. Right now, we're working with our head down, and we're building. And so, you know, just having that that moment with myself. I do it every day. As I sit there and say, we're gonna be pretty damn good. And so just got to keep working, keep going. And we're all excited. So it's really important to have that mindset. But also have the mindset of like, let's keep going. Let's keep working. Let's get after it.
Time is up. That's what I've been thinking about the Chicago Bears today. And that thought has kind of been formulating in my brain with all the things that have been going on with the Chicago Bears. And you just heard the voice of Caleb Williams, the starting quarterback for the Chicago Bears, and all of the promise that he represents. But time is up for such things as that. It's time for the Bears to have the quarterback. Time is up, as if it wasn't a long time ago, but I'm telling you right now that time is up. Like, that has to work. That has to be your quarterback of the future, because time is up. And this is really in relation to thinking about the Chicago Bears and the fact that this is the charter franchise, one that will be represented on HBO, and a lot of it will be about the fact that the franchise was the one that started it all and the history that it exists with it. And with that fact also comes the fact that the Bears have not won a Super Bowl since 1986. Was the actuals, the 85 Bears who won the 86 Super Bowl. That's what, 38 years ago. Time's up, you know, like to where, and like when it was 20 years later, it's like, oh man, this is starting to hurt. 25, it's like, woof, been a long time. 30th anniversary of the Super Bowl. Man, it just kind of hit me now that, or today, that it's been 38 years. Time is up. And that they have only 6 playoff wins since the 1985 Bears, which is just crazy. And some of those came in the 80s, some of those wins since then. So for so many things, time is up. And time is up in terms of not having a real offense. You better start to, you know, not just the quarterback, but with Keenan Allen and DJ Moore, and hopefully Roma Dunze will be part of that party in legitimacy once he gets going, and Cole Kmet and all the other, and DeAndre Swift, like, you, that better be it. And signs are beginning to point towards, yes, like, this might be it. This might be the one. And just for so many reasons, it just has to be. You can say what you want to say about Kevin Warren, but even Kevin Warren represents a change in the way the Bears do business and have done business in the past, to finally bring in that a voice different from those that they were close to and comfortable with, and the way they have done small family business is what they have done at Hallis Hall for years, and don't bring in somebody who might be perceived to have a little bit more power. Well, they seem to acquiesce on that with Kevin Warren. So at least it represents change, and Kevin Warren has a long way to go before we can look at him and say what impact he has made. He's in the process of building a legacy right now, but that's not the point of the conversation. Some of it because of what he does represent, a different way of doing business. Hey, guess what? Another thing time's up on. Time's up on the stadium. It's time for the Chicago Bears to have a great stadium in a great location, no matter where, whether it's in Arlington Heights or in downtown Chicago. Time is up, man. Like, for all of it. And again, there's another example of you begin to see that part coming together, like the pieces. Like, I'm not close to saying, yep, this is it. The Bears are going to, the future is here. No doubt about it. This is going to be a star quarterback with a star offense and a top five elite defense that is going to be here. I'm not saying that, but at least, and it's disjointed right now, at least you could kind of see the pieces marching closer together. That actually feels like, yeah, you got a pretty good hand here. And I don't know, because we've been hurt before, but something does feel different about this. It really does. And maybe it was when they signed Keenan Allen that it all of a sudden started to feel better, because like, whoa, okay, see what you're doing now. And what you're doing now is trying to win. That's a win now move if I've ever seen one in Keenan Allen, because chances are, folks, Keenan Allen is probably just going to be here for 1 year. That's my guess. So while that might be disappointing to you, him being here in the first place tells you that the Bears think they can win now. So the pieces are marching together, but time is up anyway. So hopefully all those bits and pieces are coming together for this Bears team, because it has to be happening. Let's take a phone call. Let's go to John in Algonquin. John, you are on the Score.
Cody, love your show, man. You've got me almost like I have goosebumps in my arms, because I've been a Bears fan. I'm 50 years old. I watched Favre, I watched Rodgers, I watch Love, and I can see that he looks like he has a golden arm. I mean, I can't do this anymore. Like, if this isn't the guy, I don't know that I can endure another draft to where they say they might have of the guy. I mean, this guy's got more hype built up on him than any other quarterback that's ever been either drafted or brought to Chicago. What you're saying is hitting home so hard right now. I can't do this again. This has got to be the one.
Yeah, you're right. That's it. Bears fans can't endure this again. Time's up. Time is up. Like, this has to be it. And the organization, believe it or not, is acting accordingly. That they are doing the things that a team that wants to win now would do. That's for sure. But that's it. That the caller caught right back at you, John. I got goosebumps now too. Bears fans cannot endure this again. And I'm talking about the promise of Mitch Trubisky, the promise of Justin Fields, and everything that came with the promise of Jay Cutler when that went down. So that you've been there, like, Bears fans never cease to amaze me. You're always there en masse supporting these guys. Like, with Trubisky, massive support for Trubisky. It dropped off to a decent degree towards the end, but I still think there was tons of Trubisky fans on his way out the door. For sure. Justin Fields, same thing. I've never seen in my life a more popular quarterback when drafted. That I think Bears fans, while maybe they didn't know as much about Mitch Trubisky, they knew everything about Justin Fields and what he might be able to represent. So the popularity of that pick was as enormous as any signing or draft pick that I've ever seen in my Bears life. And I think some of that held over to the bitter end, to where he was getting his name, you know, called out, chanted at Soldier Field, Justin, you know, at the end, because they still love this guy. Even with the flaws, right up until the very end, he was beloved. So the support has been there. I just wonder that if this one doesn't work out, can you even endure another? And that's the point of my whole speech here, is that time is up. That's it. And they have to be held to this standard. And it does appear that the Bears are complying, that they are doing their part. Let's go to Chad in Champaign. What's up, Chad? You're on the Score.
Brody, I love you, man. I'm glad you're on the night shift, buddy. Hey,
Thank you, man.
I just want to see a center help out Caleb with that offensive line this year, like a center. Like a leading center. And then kind of what you were saying, it'd be awesome to see a Keenan Allen be like, or DJ Moore or DeAndre Swift, right? The running back, somebody be a leader with Caleb. The last thing I want to see is Caleb having to be the leader and also be the rookie quarterback. I really don't want to see that. I want to see a team that will support that guy and let him lead naturally, but we need that veteran leadership to shine through other than just the quarterback. But, bro, we need a center to keep that line in order this year.
All right, love man. Yeah, no, I appreciate the call, and I think that they think that the center is either Shelton Coleman or is it Coleman Shelton? Or Ryan Bates, and it feels like the favorite from what I've been seeing when going to the off-season program practices, it's Ryan Bates. But to your point, hey, man, the center position has been a mess over the last couple of years with the Bears, with what Lucas Patrick put you through, and it looked like that was going to be like a pretty good signing. I mean, it was certainly celebrated, that's for sure, and that simply didn't work out. Cody Whitehair taking a crack at center, just not a good look for him. And I know that he kind of struggled even at guard last year. In years previous to that as well, yeah, the center position has been down for a while. So it was one of the things that I said before the offseason program started. Like, if they're going to do this competition between the two, please have the answer at least by training camp. So, I mean, the last thing a rookie quarterback needs, any rookie quarterback needs, is a center competition. No. So that does have to get taken care of quickly. I'm afraid, though, that even if the center is not on the roster, I don't think you're going to see some all-pro caliber center on this team. That's just a position that that's a kind of been a weak spot, quite frankly, of the Ryan Poles era. Need to take a break if you want to talk more Bears. Got time for maybe a call if you want. 312-644-6767. I'm Mark Grody on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
The Bears.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This Friday, 6 o'clock, 6 p.m., I am happy to announce, is the premiere of A Salute to Sandberg, as I am hosting a one-hour documentary honoring the legacy of Ryan Sandberg before his statue is unveiled at Wrigley Field 2 days later on Sunday, when that all goes down. That's going to be this Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on your home for the Cubs, 670 The Score. And on the Odyssey app, like I was talking about earlier, I had a blast putting this thing together. And I promise you, you will enjoy it, because I watched probably most of Ryan Sandberg's baseball games with the Cubs. I watched a lot of baseball, for sure. A couple other things before we get out of here. And I was talking about earlier about how time's up for the Bears on everything, from the quarterback to the offense, to the stadium. And I also countered that with the Bears are doing business differently, for sure, with some of the things that they are allowing for and some of the moves that Ryan Poles has made and the conversations that they had with Caleb Williams and with Caleb Williams' father gives you a good feeling that not only is time up here, that this regime might be the one to kind of break what has been just an awful version of Chicago Bears football for too long of a time, with some intermittent success thrown in there as well.
I'm here to win games.
Yes, he is here to win games. And a texter was pointing out too, and another example of that is going on HBO for Hard Knocks. I think to some degree they backed themselves into a corner on that, because, oh, they did qualify as a team that does not have a new head coach, that has not been in the playoffs for the last couple of years. They hit some of the criterion for sure to be in that position. But yes, they could have, you know, put up a bigger fight or caused a fit, flex their charter franchise muscles, but they didn't. So it is a different way of doing business, it feels like, in a lot of ways, and it has to be for so many other reasons that I don't have to get into, and that's good because I'm not going to end up having enough time. I did want to say, too, I'm really impressed with the Boston Celtics that they won the NBA championship this year for two reasons. They were expected to win it, but it was win or the season is a fail. NBA championship or bust. That's what the Boston Celtics were hearing from their fan base and that city all year long. To pull that off amidst that expectations because of getting to the finals in previous years, that's a pretty impressive sports feat for sure. And I just think that the Boston Celtics went out there and did this amidst all of those types of issues, and they get there, and they were heading to a bad loser category, like teams that get to the Super Bowl, like the Buffalo Bills, but never win the Super Bowl. They were getting to that sort of loser place, which is an awkward one, and they extinguished that, put it all out with one win to win the NBA title. So I am impressed with the Boston Celtics. Thank you to the people who came on the show tonight. Ben Verlander was on the show. Kendall Gill came on talking Bulls. Michael Cirami on the Cubs. Tyler Buterbaugh doing a great job of producing the show. I am Mark Grody. I get to be back with you tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. Have a great rest of your night here on The Score.
I profoundly apologize.
No, that's fine. Yeah. You did your best.
The Bears.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This Friday, 6 o'clock, 6 p.m., I am happy to announce is the premiere of A Salute to Sandberg, as I am hosting a one-hour documentary honoring the legacy of Ryan Sandberg before his statue is unveiled at Wrigley Field 2 days later. On Sunday, when that all goes down, that's going to be this Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on your home for the Cubs, 670 The Score, and on the Odyssey app. Like I was talking about earlier, I had a blast putting this thing together, and I promise you, you will enjoy it because I watched probably most of Ryan Sandberg's baseball games with the Cubs. I watched a lot. Of baseball for sure. Couple other things before we get out of here. And I was talking about earlier about how time's up for the Bears on everything from the quarterback to the offense to the stadium. And I also countered that with the Bears are doing business differently for sure with some of the things that they are allowing for and some of the moves that Ryan Poles has made and the conversations that they had with Caleb Williams and with Caleb Williams's father gives you a good feeling that not only is time up here, that this regime might be the one to kind of break what has been just an awful version of Chicago Bears football for too long of a time with some intermittent success thrown in there as well.
I'm here to win games.
Yes, he is here to win games. And a texter was pointing out too, and another example of that is going on HBO for Hard Knocks. I think to some degree they backed themselves into a corner on that because, oh, they did qualify as a team that does not have a new head coach, that has not been in the playoffs for the last couple of years. They hit some of the criterion for sure to be in that position. But yes, they could have, you know, put up a bigger fight or caused a fit, flex their charter franchise muscles, but they didn't. So it is a different way of doing business. It feels like in a lot of ways, and it has to be for so many other reasons that I don't have to get into. And that's good because I'm not going to end up having enough time. I did want to say, too, I'm really impressed with the Boston Celtics that they won the NBA championship this year for two reasons. They were expected to win it, but it was win or the season is a fail. NBA championship or bust. That's what the Boston Celtics were hearing from their fan base and that city all year long. To pull that off amidst that expectations because of getting to the finals in previous years, that's a pretty impressive sports feat for sure. And I just think that the Boston Celtics went out there and did this amidst all of those types of issues, and they get there, and they were heading to a bad loser category, like teams that get to the Super Bowl, like the Buffalo Bills, but never win the Super Bowl. They were getting to that sort of loser place, which is an awkward one, and they extinguished that, put it all out with one win to win the NBA title. So I am impressed with the Boston Celtics. Thank you to the people who came on the show tonight. Ben Verlander was on the show. Kendall Gill came on talking Bulls. Michael Cerami on the Cubs. Tyler Buterbaugh doing a great job of producing the show. I am Mark Grody. I get to be back with you tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. Have a great rest of your night here on The Score.
I profoundly apologize.
No, that's fine. Yeah. You did your best.